Laudetur Jesus Christus. Praise be Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Abbot Circle podcast, presented by the Norbertine Canons Regular of St. Michael's Abbey.
Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The words of the royal psalmist appointed for today, the feast of the Norbertine saint of the 1200s, priest St. Herman Joseph, and on which feast we give happy feast day greetings to our own Father Herman Joseph here. Take delight in the Lord, and he will grant the desires of your heart. Well, my mother was a kindergarten teacher, and so you'll excuse me if I engage in a little show and tell. I don't know if they allow that in schools anymore, but that was one of the big possibilities for a kindergartner, show and tell. Here's a little carved image of Our Lady kneeling before the manger of Bethlehem. There goes a little image there. And this is part of a creche scene which belonged to my family and now belongs to the Abbey. And I was not allowed to take and handle these figures. You know, they were kept safe. But one fine day, I snatched this little image, and being aware that my father was pretty much a pushover for this sort of thing, I asked him if I could just take it and bring it to my room and put it next to the cross, which was standing on the bedside table next to my bed. Well, who could refuse a request of a little child such as that? And so he said, okay. Now, my mother was not quite as sure that the statue would end up safe, but in any case, I had it for a little while next to the bed. And it didn't cry when it was taken away. I understood the reason. Well, another little story, since this is about children, and stories are children's stock and trade, a way of persuading and a way of enjoying things. In 1994, our order, the Norbertine Order, had a general chapter of all the houses of the order throughout the world, sending their delegates, especially their prelates, their abbots, to an old Norbertine abbey in Germany, in Swabia, called Marchtal. And it was quite a gathering, and a beautiful, beautiful Baroque church, incredible, as they have in Germany and the Catholic regions, and even the non-Catholic regions. And so there we were, and they divided up the different officiants of the office among the different abbots or prelates who were present. And one day, when the commemoration was of Our Lady, they assigned our founding abbot, the founding abbot of St. Michael's, Abbot Ladislaus Parker, the role of being the officiant at Vespers. Well, he didn't show up, and he didn't show up, and finally it was a couple of minutes before the beginning of Vespers. So I zipped upstairs just to check and make sure he was all right. He was already advanced in years at that time, and awakened him because he had gone down for a nap and had overslept. He was mortified, as he was a man of duty, and he said to me, "This means something. I have to discover what this means." And I said, "Well, it's natural, you know, oversleeping is not, no. It's not." I was very firm on that. "I think I know what it means." I said, "What's that, Father Abbot?" He said, "I have been lacking in my adult life in Andacht to the Blessed Mother." Andacht means devotion. "I've been lacking in my adult life in my Andacht to the Blessed Mother." He said, "I was raised where we went every single evening in his village in the month of May, every single evening to the church to sing the Litany of Our Lady and to pray the Rosary and to receive benediction with the Blessed Sacrament. But then he said, but later on, as he studied theology, mid-20th century German theology, he developed a more reserved attitude towards devotion to Our Lady, not so popular, not so effusive, not so flowery. I remember telling me, please don't ask me to crown any statues with flowers. That's for little girls, he would say. All right. There you go. So he said, I'm being punished for that with this humiliation, that I did not maintain the Andacht, the devotion of my childhood. Think for a moment, if you study philosophy, theology, don't think of the insight you've gotten from your reading so much. Think for a moment from whom you received the first intimations and the first model of devotion to the Mother of God. Who was it? When was it? What was said? What images were used? That's often very important. What experience might you have had? Just take a look at that. Because there we stand in a direct line that goes all the way from God the Father's creation of Our Lady Immaculate in her mother's womb to the present hour of her resplendent glory in heaven depicted above us, which we will see at the end of time in that great revelation, that great apocalypse, when Our Lady and her Son will triumph along with St. Michael and the holy angels. Our own devotion fits somewhere in between those extremes and goes on forever. God's original plan, the abundance of grace, his power expressed throughout human history, and brought down to us, to those who taught us to love and to honor and to trust in the power and the goodness of Christ's mother and ours. This is no small thing, and in fact, it is the thing on which hangs our eternal salvation. We should be so grateful for those who have taught us about the Blessed Mother. In our own community, we developed some time ago, maybe in the 80s, the practice of consecration to Our Lady, following more or less the model of St. Louis de Montfort, very much compatible with the spirituality, we could say, of St. Herman Joseph. I suppose that's still going on in the formation. Is that still? Yes, okay. I didn't think we'd stop that. That had a tremendous impact on every man who participated in it, and that was all of us. And it is a gift which is unmerited and continually bears fruit. We are protected and enlightened by our consecration to the Mother of God, the Mother of the Word incarnate. Yes, delight in the Lord, and he will grant you the petitions of your heart. Little children are charming, and you want to give them more precisely because they take delight in what you give them. And if they don't like what you're giving them at the moment, well, you can get them to overcome their little fit of pique by showing them something else that they like. You know, like playing airplane. Our Lady plays airplane with us a great deal, getting us to taste sometimes the bitter fruits of this life in expectation of the graces which confirm the goodness of God in our regard. So let's be grateful and meditate on that. Consider that, that the grace that you received of having a devotion to Our Lady is one which continues to this day and depends upon so many others. We are all united in one family under the protection of the Mother of God, as our Lord himself was. We should never, ever, ever minimize or downplay the importance of devotion to Our Lady. It doesn't do the Catholic faith any credit. In fact, it weakens it. So when we hear devotion to Our Lady questioned or attacked, then we need to respond firmly and charitably and enlighten those around you, never being caught off guard or confused by claims that somehow our Lord's being our unique Redeemer takes the place of every other person, holy person's participation in that redemption. And hers was necessary in God's plan and absolutely universal. So let's turn to her and let us ask her for what we need, assured that we will delight in whatever she gives us, and in whatever is difficult in this life, she will find a way to make it palatable so that we can receive the gifts and be fed food of eternal life.
Thank you for joining us on the Abbot Circle podcast. May God bless you.